Thank you so very much. I want to invite you to take your Bible to the book of John. The book of John, when a person comes to know Christ, they're a new Christian. Many times they'll say to me, Pastor, where do you recommend I start reading? And I always say the book of John. For a new Christian, the best place to begin is begin in the book of John. Certainly there's some timeless truths in this book that God wants us to hear. John chapter 4, Jesus was having a conversation with a lady that's life was somewhat mixed up. To be honest with you, she had been through 5 marriages. Can you imagine? 5 marriages. I mean, 5 different mother-in-laws. It must have been an experience. Amen. You know, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. I've always believed that's why Peter denied him. But anyway, John chapter 4, verse 19, this is what he says. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. By the way, the Jews were God's chosen people, always have been, and always will be. You say, I'm not interested in Judaism. There is no Christianity, by the way, without Judaism. Mary and Joseph's last name wasn't Smith or Jones. Amen. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Folks, I want to take a few weeks. I can't tell you exactly how many because many times I run out of time before I run out of sermon. I don't know how many weeks, but I'm going to take some weeks, and I'm going to talk to you a series of messages entitled, Worship is Not About Me. Worship is not about me. And I'm going to begin today by talking to you about it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Now, let me make 3 foundational statements for preaching. Statement number 1 is this, ladies and gentlemen. You were created for worship. You were created. You say, Pastor, I don't have a clue. You know, I've often said, God created the rocks, the rills, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees, the yous and me's. God created us all. Amen? We're wonderfully and gloriously created by God, folks. You are somebody. You're somebody because you're God's creation. But I want you to know this. You were created for worship. Because the Bible says in Revelation 4 and 11, when we get to heaven, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, God doesn't mind us having pleasure. I had pleasure yesterday. I got my tiller, and God gave me a thought while I was doing that. I was tilling up my garden, getting ready to plant the collard seeds, and I thought, you know, these seeds have got to go in the ground. It's going to get dark. It's going to get dark. I stepped on the seeds some while I was planting the collard seeds. But you know, folks, it looked like I was burying them, but actually they were being planted. I thought, wonder how many times in our lives it looks like we're being buried when God's just planting us. Amen? Looks like we're being buried. Now my ADD kicked in there. But anyway, God doesn't mind us having pleasure. I mean, I had pleasure. I had pleasure working in my garden. I had pleasure for a little bit of the Tennessee football game. But let me share something with you, folks. That wasn't why I was created. I was created to worship God. That's why you was created to worship God. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 43 and 21 that we were created to show forth his praise. We were created, ladies and gentlemen. You say, I don't know why I'm here, Pastor Benny. I know why you're here. You're created to worship God. Let me tell you the second thing. You will worship something. You will worship something. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm not a worshiper. Oh, yes, you are. You will worship something. Because, see, worship is just love expressed. Some people are worshiping their bodies. Amen? They're worshiping something that's going to pass. Life's kind of like a bath, folks. The longer you stay, the more wrinkles you're going to get. You say, well, mine's not passing. I don't look my age. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, sir. Yes, you do. You look your age. No matter what you're trying to do to hide it, you do look your age. Because, see, these old bodies weren't meant to live forever. But we got people that are worshiping their bodies. We got people that are worshiping their finances. We got people that are worshiping their 401k. We got people that are worshiping their townhouse. We got people that are worshiping the beach house, the lake house. We got people that are worshiping their mate. We got people that are worshiping their talent, their ability. See, we all worship. You're going to worship something because you were created to worship something. One lady said to her counselor, my husband is the most self-centered man in the world. The counselor said, what would make him a self-centered man? I haven't found him to be that way. She said, well, he won a trip to Hawaii for two. The counselor said, that's not self-centered. She said, yes, it is. He went twice. I mean, we're worshiping something. Guy's out driving his BMW, opens the door up. Lo and behold, a truck comes by and rips the door off. Guy's very materialistic. Police officer comes and the guy's screaming, my Beamer, my Beamer, my Beamer. The officer says, sir, you're so materialistic. He said, why would you say I'm materialistic? He said, well, your left arm's been torn off. He said, where's my Rolex? Where's my Rolex? Where's my Rolex? See, folks, this is what I know. You were created for worship. You will worship something. And here's what I know unequivocally. God wants you and God wants me to worship him. You know, we talk about the Ten Commandments, folks, and we talk about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. But long before he said any of those, he gave the first four. And the first four deal exclusively with worshiping God. They deal exclusively with worshiping God. And the last positive commandment in the entire Word of God is in Revelation 22 and 9, where the Bible says, worship God. Now, listen. Most of you don't know me real well, I'm sure. Some better than others. Some better than others. But if you knew me real well, you would know if there's something that I could make happen for you, I'd make it happen. And I can tell you unequivocally, if there's something that I've got and you want, you can have it. I mean, if you think this tie looks that good after the service, I'll give it to you. I mean that. Because this is what I've learned. The most important things in life are not things. I've learned that. What the most important things are relationships. Relationships. So if there was something that I really could make happen for you, I promise you I'd make it happen for you. If there was something that I knew you wanted. Now here's what's amazing. Most of you, I look out there at you and I know you. And if there's something that you could make happen for Pastor Benny, you'd say, I want him to have it. If there's something I wanted, you'd say, I love Pastor Benny, and I want to make that happen for Brother. If Brother Benny wants one of those, why don't we just get him one of those? And you would do that, wouldn't you? Lie. You'd do that, wouldn't you? Here's amazing, folks. Why don't we want to make happen for God what he wants? There's just one place where he said, I want something from you. There's just one place. He said, I really want something from you. I want it from every one of you. And it's in John chapter 4, verse 23. In John chapter 4, verse 23, he said, this is what I seek. I seek worship from you. That's what I want. I want worship from you. And that's what God's crying out and saying. I want from every one of you. I want from all the people. I want worship. So if that's what God wants, Why don't we do our dead level best to give him that? Now, let me make four quick observations about worship. Number one, be focused on why you worship. Be focused on why you worship. It was interesting to me, this lady who had been married five times and was living with a man at the time, that's the conversation with that lady. It wasn't his disciples. He taught us about worship through a lady who had a checkered past. And this is what he taught us. He taught us why we worship. Number one, we worship because of who he is. We just worship him because of who he is. Just because of who he is. You know, he told this lady, he said, you've been married five times and you're living with a man. And you know, maybe you would have thought he was psychic, but she said, no, no. You must be a prophet. Look what the scripture says in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that you must be a prophet. And he said, no, 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 no. He jumped down a few verses to 25 and 26. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Hey, folks, he's not coming. He's here. No, he's not coming. He's here. See, I'm convinced of this, folks. Before you can really worship God, before you can really worship God, you've got to understand who he is. You've got to understand. I love this quote by Francis Chan. Francis Chan said, isn't it a comfort to worship a God we cannot exaggerate? Isn't it a comfort to worship a God that we cannot exaggerate? What we got to realize, folks, he's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislators. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. We got to understand who he is. And when we understand who he is, we can worship him. Let me tell you something else. Why we worship? Not only because of who he is, but because of what he's done. This woman goes to this well to get water, and Jesus said, let me talk to you. Now, you got to keep in mind, the Jews didn't talk to the Samaritans, but Jesus said, let me talk to you. Jesus said, whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And in verse 15, she said, give me a drink. In verse 15, all folks, she said, give me a drink. I heard about a guy that was just an alcoholic, and he got saved, and his life was radically changed. And they said, you quit drinking. He said, oh, no, I just turned to a different fountain. Amen. Just give me a drink. Just give me a drink. Just give me a drink. Now, keep in mind, folks, let me think about it. I'll give you something to think about. This bless me. You know, listen, if the message doesn't bless me, it's probably not going to bless you. But you know, I love the analogy about Rock Springs Church. The perfect place for people who aren't. The perfect place for people who aren't. That's the people that the Lord died for. Now, this lady got right with God. But you know what I know? He's teaching her about worship. And she's thinking, I'm living with a man right now. I'm living with a man right now. Everything wasn't right. Everything wasn't right. I mean, she had to go back and get it right, I know that. But everything wasn't right. But he said, worship me. See, folks, don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Because every Sunday, every time you come for corporate worship, there'll always be something wrong with you. There'll always be problems. There'll always be perplexities. There'll always be situations that you can't get worked out. But folks, we need to come into His house offering the sacrifice of praise and worshiping Him. Think about this. Jesus never told us to rejoice over anything other than rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You can rejoice over the fact that your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you've had a blood-bought, heartfelt, sin-killing, life-changing, devil-chasing experience with God. That's reason enough to rejoice. Be focused on why you worship. But let me tell you something else. Be flexible in where you worship. Now, you got to understand, this lady was a Samaritan. Who were the Samaritans? They were Jews who intermarried the Assyrians. They were half-breeds. They were half-breeds. And the Gentiles despised them. Literally, the Jews referred to them. This was the highest insult. The Jews called them dogs. The highest insult. Now put a bull in front of it and you've got the same thing today. Now wait. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. But look. If you look at verse 20, notice what it says. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim. You got to understand, on Mount Gerizim is where the Samaritans worshipped. Because they couldn't worship on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem because the Jews would not allow it. And they said, Lord, we worship here and the Jewish people worship somewhere else. But look what Jesus said in verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, it's not a matter of where you are. It's a matter of who you know. See, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. See, worship is not about a person. It's not about a place. It's about a person. It's not about a location. It's about a lifestyle. Here's what we need to do. We need to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, we're to bring our worship to the house of God, and we're to leave with our worship when we leave the house of God. Let me tell you something. If you're not having personal worship in your life, you're not going to have corporate worship in your life. You're not having personal worship, you're not going to have corporate worship. There's not some osmosis that's going to take place because you're in here. Be flexible where you worship. But let me give you one other, two others, three others, four others. Be fixed on who you worship. Be fixed on who you worship. Look what verse 23 says. Now, some people are going to disagree with me. They're just saying we just got to be ecumenical and we just all to come together and can't we have peace and worship the same God? But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father. The Father of Jesus Christ. The Buddhists are not true worshipers. The Muslims are not true worshipers because they're not worshiping the Father of Jesus Christ. The only true worshipers are those that are worshiping the Father of Jesus Christ. John 1, 11 and 12 says He came into His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I want you to get this down, folks. Be fixed on who you worship. I love what C.S. Lewis said. I wish I'd said it. C.S. Lewis said, the perfect church service would be one we're almost unaware of. Our attention would have been on God. Here's what I want you to know, folks. Worship is not about a style. Worship is not about a song. Worship is about God. It's when you're fixed on Him. When you're fixed on Him. Folks, let me tell you something. If somebody writes a song and it was written yesterday and it's scripturally based and it's worship and praise to God, I can sing it as worship to Him. But folks, I can sing as worship to Him because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because He lives. Because He lives. Oh, folks, don't get caught up in Benny's green tie or Sally's red dress or Johnny's pants. That's really not what worship is about. That's really not what worship is about. We need to focus on Him. On Him. 28 years ago, I came to Rock Springs Church as pastor and got so discouraged. You say, why did you come? 28 years ago, folks, when I came as pastor, I'd never been in a church service. I'd never been in a church service and saw a lady wearing anything other than a dress. I'd never seen anything other than a dress. And when I saw ladies walking in with slacks, I said, oh God, I've gotten a hell hole. Listen, when I came here 28 years ago, you got to keep in mind, I'm from Tennessee. They still believe the earth's flat, wrestling's real, and nobody's ever walked on the moon. I mean, lived Colmont, Tennessee. I mean, the rainbow there still in black and white. I'd never gone to a funeral home and seen a lady in a pair of slacks. I'd never seen it. And I said, I don't know if I can take it. And I went back and saw one of my professors, Dr. Dean Northcutt, and I told him, Dean, I've gotten a hell hole. He said, tell me about it. And I began to tell him about it. He said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that black back book, and I'm going to preach it. And he said, that's good. I said, I got to go. He said, by the way, but before you go, he said, what verse are you going to use? That's a thought. You know what preaching is to most people? It's ammunition for what they already believe. And the moment it's contrary to what they believe, they no longer enjoy the preaching. But this is what I realized, folks. I didn't have one verse of Scripture. I had a tradition that I was raised in that there was nothing scriptural or biblical about. It was just a tradition that I was raised in. It was just a tradition that I was brought up. Let me tell you something, folks. Oh, please, if you don't get anything out of the message, I love you with all my heart. But listen, folks. We worship God with a tie or without a tie. We worship God in slacks or a dress. It's really not about any of that. And the moment we've made it about that, it must sadden God, because it's supposed to be about Him. It was never meant to be about us to start with. Many times we've made it about us. Let me give you the last point, and I'll let you get out of here. Be faithful in the way you worship. Now, here's what I want you to see. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And folks, it's both. Amen? I know churches that are so spirit-based. I mean, spirit-based. They're doing things that are no way scriptural. No way scriptural. I mean, you go there and it's almost like it's a mental institution. I'm just being transparent. Most churches are a combination between either a mental institution or a cemetery. I'm just being honest. And you've got some doctor bottle stopper. And he's talking about the difference between the dichotomy and the trichotomy. Now, that'll bring him back next week. He's breaking down transubstantiation and consubstantiation. Don't you want some more of that? Walks down the path to feed the calf. Let me tell you what. Those people that are in those places that it's all spirit, problems comes to their life. Problems come to their lives. And they blow up. Because it's all built on hype. I'll get in trouble with some people for what I'm saying, but I could care less. Because it's all built on hype. And then you've got people that everything is, every I's dotted and every T's crossed. But let me tell you something. Trouble comes to those people's lives and they dry up. God don't want you to blow up. God don't want you to dry up. But if you mix spirit and truth, you'll grow up. If you mix spirit and truth, you'll grow up. I promise you. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. First of all, you got to have spiritual worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's when your spirit connects with God's spirit through the Holy Spirit. I am convinced there's people that have came to church for years and sat on the pew that have never worshiped God. They're here in body, but they've never worshiped God. They've just been here in body. And they think it's my duty. It's my duty. I feel better about myself if I just go to church out of duty and then I leave. I put something in the plate. But they've never worshiped God. There's spiritual worship and then there's scripture worship. This is what I know, folks. We can create our own God. You can create your own God. And you say, what are you talking about? People have created a God that says, the God I worship would never allow anyone to go to hell. The God I worship says a homosexual lifestyle is okay. The God I worship says I can sin and everything's fine. The God I worship says, it doesn't matter if I go to church or not. There's only one problem with that. That's not scriptural worship. It doesn't line up with this book. And folks, if it doesn't line up with this book, it's not worship. I tell you this story, and I'm done. I read one time about a worship leader by the name of Matt Redman in England. Matt Redman said that the pastor was trying to do what I'm trying to do, folks. The pastor was trying to bring the people back to worship. See, folks, listen. If you leave today and you say, what a great sermon, I've missed it. If you leave today and say, oh, what great songs, we've missed it. But if you leave today and you say, what a great Savior, we've nailed it. We've nailed it. We've nailed it. And that pastor was trying to do what I'm going to try to do for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know how long. trying to teach the people about worship and what it's really all about. And the pastor said, I'll tell you what, the band, no longer going to have the band. The sound system, we're no longer going to have the sound system. All the stuff that goes with it, we're not going to have. Because, see, folks, let me tell you something. You can worship God without the band. You can worship God without the sound system. We bring our worship here. And then we just corporately worship together. And then we take our worship with us. And I'll talk more about it in the next few weeks. The pastor said, we're doing all way with all that. And that worship leader said, during this time, I tried to get my mind on what worship really is. And he said, God gave me this song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. He wrote it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm closing. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. I've just got to coast before I stop. I looked up worship. In the Old Testament, in the word in Hebrew, this is what it means, folks. This is what the word in Hebrew means. It means to bow down. And then I realized that the New Testament was written in Greek. So I looked up, what does the word worship mean in Greek? And it means to bow down. If I bow before an emperor, if I bow before a king, if I bow before a judge, it's certainly not about me. It's about them. And folks, if we're really going to worship God, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's about Him. And you know what I know, folks? No matter which congregation you're in, no matter which congregation you're in today, you know, you really can't worship God unless you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because you can't be a true worshiper unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first step, is putting my faith in Christ. Many of you listening to me today, you've never put your faith in Christ. So you're worshiping something else other than Him. Because you can't be a true worshiper until you put your faith and trust in Christ. And you acknowledge you're a sinner and you believe that Christ died for your sins and you confess them to you. Then you can become a true worshiper. And I pray that many of you listening today will become a true worshiper.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord. and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.